Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
I want to continue this series on eyes to see. Eyes to see. And I want to challenge you today. I didn't really get the title of this message until really this morning. Not that I haven't been studying and praying into it. Like, man, you just started praying this morning? No. But I wasn't sure what to call it. And the Holy Spirit told me to call it this: look again. Somebody say, look again. Look at your neighbor again and say, look again. Look again. So as we talk about vision, we have to talk about faith. And if we talk about faith, we have to talk about fear. There are all kinds of fears in the earth. How many know that there are good fears and there are bad fears? In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So a fear of the Lord is a good thing. How many know as well a fear of bears is a good thing? If you're out camping, you're not like, hey, let's go get a selfie with the bear. You know, let's let the professionals handle that. So a fear of bears is a good fear. But I also believe that, well, before I get into that, how many watch scary movies? I don't watch scary movies because I think they're pointless. Because if I walked into a scary house and I heard a noise, the movie would have ended right there. But why is it always the white people that want to go figure out what that noise is? I think I'm one of the only white people to like, yeah, that movie would have ended in about 10 minutes. It wouldn't have had a trilogy. It wouldn't have a four or fifth, you know, this movie Saul. Like, just do right. And when you get in a weird situation, walk out. Be like Joseph. Do not heed and run. Can I get an amen? So there are good fears. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Every time I watch a movie, I'm like, what are they doing? This movie should have ended right there. We pray for all the white people today in Jesus' name. But there's also bad fears. Bad fears are the fears that attempt to paralyze us from being all God has us to be. Maybe today you have a fear of planes, but God has called you to overseas missions. And so therefore you're paralyzed because you don't want to get on a plane. And I don't know what's caused that fear, but we're going to talk a little bit about that today. With all kind of fears in the earth, the top five fears for us as humans, they took a poll on this. Number five is the fear of intimacy. Number four, a fear of spiders, rats, cockroaches, snakes. How many have that fear? I don't have that fear. I have an anger, all right? Number three would be a social phobia, where fear of public speaking or a fear of public spaces. Number two would be a fear of death. And the number one fear is the fear of loneliness. You are not alone. I am here with you. Thank God for Michael Jackson. I don't know where he's at right now, but we just pray for him. But there's a fear of loneliness. In order to have vision, I'm going to go squirrel a lot today. Lord, help my mouth to line up with your word. In order to have vision, we have to have faith. And the complete opposite of faith, I said this earlier, is fear. So we've said this before. It's been said in the kingdom. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. And fear has the goal, as I said earlier, to paralyze you, to keep you from risk, to keep you from faith. And here's what I say to you, Dwell Church. If you're going to do it afraid. If you're going to jump, jump afraid. If you're going to run, run afraid. If you're going to give it all afraid. You have to understand that Jesus was human too, and he battled fear. In Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 15, it says this, "For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." The sin is not fear, but if you let fear paralyze you and take control, then it can become sin. Jesus still took on the devil in his humanity. He still took on the law in his humanity. He still took on the Pharisees, and he still took on the cross. See Jesus in the garden before he is to be crucified. He cried out to the Father, "Take this cup from me. I can't bear this. I don't want to do this." It said it was so intense, his prayer, that his sweat was as drops of blood. Thick sweat. That sounds like fear. Anybody ever been in a fearful situation, paralyzed by fear, saying, "God, take this cup from me"? And it's so intense, you begin to sweat. But even in his humanity, the Father sent him angels to comfort him, and he still took on the cross for you and for me. I believe he took it on afraid, but he took it on. Here's what I appreciate about fear. Fear is just a reminder that it's not about you. Fear is just a reminder that it's not about you, and it's all about him. So if you're calling me to jump, Lord, then you're going to have to catch me. If you're calling me to run, Lord, then you're going to have to give me the strength to keep running. If you're calling me to give it all, then you're going to have to provide. Fear will always feel real, but that doesn't make it real. How many ever said, you know, you come against fear and you begin to talk about it, and you catch yourself saying, "But I feel, this is what I feel." And because just it's fear, it's feeling, but that doesn't make it real. I put this little acronym together for you for fear. Do you have that fear acronym? All right, if you don't, then I'm going to give it to you. So fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. But what is the acronym for faith? Facing all instances through him. Facing all instances through him. But see, in our humanity, we will give in to the feeling and the fear. Let's be honest. If we walked into a dark room, our human nature tells us there's something bad in this room. When I cannot see it, how many say I think the worst 8 times out of 10? And maybe you're that positive, really positive person. How many grew up in church? Okay, how many grew up in church and they turned all the lights off in the sanctuary and it was like the scariest place to be? Anybody remember that as a kid? Maybe I'm the only one. We would dare each other when they turned the lights off. All right, whoever can run and touch the baptistry first and get back. It's like we thought demons were in there. We were worshiping in there like 30 minutes ago. But as soon as you turn the lights off, now it's full of demons because we cannot see. We walk into a dark room, and maybe you're the lucky one who thinks, "Man, when I turn this light on, this room is going to be full of candy, unicorns, and $1 million. But some of you, your imagination goes wild, and you're thinking, "Oh, God, Freddy Krueger is in here sitting in a recliner sipping on a smoothie waiting to take me out." Do y'all know who Freddy Krueger is? We tend to think the worst in our human nature. So we have earthly eyes coming against our spiritual eyes. We have to see with our spirit man, not with our physical man. I want to give you a testimony today. It was for Jocelyn and I and our family a few years ago. Some of you know our situation about Jackson, our fourth son, who was diagnosed with trisomy 18. He was given a death sentence at about 14 weeks in the womb. And at about 7.5, 8 months, he was stillborn. And he only had a 10% chance to live. And if he lived and was born, he would really only have about a 1% chance. And then that 1%, they say, don't even last 6 months to a year. And we were destroyed when we got that doctor's report. Our physical man did not feel faith. You can't feel faith. Faith is not about feeling, but it's about what you do in the middle of tragedy. I remember when she gave us the diagnosis, my heart, the darkness, the weight. Anybody ever felt the weight of fear? Like it just consumes your mind. It's like it's like a blanket that just hurts you. And I remember that moment, but I knew in that moment we had a decision to make. What do you do when your baby's been given a death sentence? Do you still have a baby shower? Do you still paint the room? Do you still buy a crib? What do you do? So here's a testimony I want to give you. This is what we keep asking ourselves through this process with our son Jackson. Is it faith if you can feel it? Because most of the time we aren't feeling it. Is faith about what you feel, or is faith about a response? In the face of a bad doctor's report or a death sentence over your unborn son, 9 out of 10 times you won't feel victory. But 10 out of 10 times, you have an opportunity to respond in victory. When doctors have given you no hope and your flesh is weak, ask yourself, what would faith do? Faith tells you to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Faith tells you to pick up a smooth stone and slingshot it at a giant's head. Faith says, give me 5 loaves and 2 fish and I'll feed 5,000. Faith tells you to not bow when you're threatened to be thrown into a fiery furnace that's been lit up 7 times hotter. Faith tells you to keep praying even though you are thrown into a den of lions. On this day, faith told us to go buy diapers. So we did. Jocelyn and I couldn't breathe the whole time. We were in Target, and after we checked out, we had a lot of what ifs for God. But that's what faith told us to do. Does this heal our son? I don't know. But we do know that if our son was healed, this is what we would do. Whatever you're going through, keep going. Would you look at somebody and say, keep going? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Doesn't mean you can't have fear. You just got to know that's not a gift from God. This thing you're putting in front of me, this is not from the Lord. But what is from the Lord is power. Somebody say power, love, and a sound mind. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Listen, we will see physical things, but we really fight spiritual things. We say that again. We see physical things, but we fight spiritual things. And we have to understand what is faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Earthly eyes versus spiritual eyes. We walk. It didn't say we stand, but we're doing an action. We're walking. We walk. Even though we can't see it, you're working. Even though we can't feel it, you're working. Because your word says you never stop. You never stop. We walk by what? And not by. We walk by and not by. So when we're asking you to see vision and have vision, it comes from here. Not from here. You can't let your finances, when you check your bank account, dictate this. You can't let a doctor's report that they put on paper affect this. Even though it comes through here, we have to know that we have to see it from here. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Give us faith to see through the lens of what? Of your word. It's time to take a walk, Dwell Church. To walk by faith. You've heard it. You've been given ears to hear. You've seen it. You've been given eyes, spiritual eyes to see. Now walk and take action. Push against the fear. Psalms 119, 105 says this. Your word is a lamp unto my and a light unto my. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have to see things through the word of God. So I want us to look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. All right, so let me set this up for you. There's two of my favorite prophets, probably two of my favorite characters besides Jesus, right, and God and Holy Spirit, is Elijah and Elisha. How many love the stories of Elijah, the true stories of Elijah? How many love the true stories of Elisha? So I want to talk about Elisha, and then we're going to go back and look at Elijah. And we're going to talk about vision to see with our spiritual eyes. So let me set this up for you before we get in verse 16 and 17 of 2 Kings chapter 6. So, I just kind of want to tell the story a little bit. So Elisha has got an ear. And he just has this ability to hear the Lord and hear things. You ever met somebody like, how did you know my social security number? How do you know my phone number? Pastor David talks about this man the Lord would give him the president's phone number. Because I think they change the president's phone number like every day or every other day to protect him or her or the first lady. And I don't know if it was Donald Trump or Barack Obama, but the Lord would give that dude the phone number every day, and he would call the president and pray with him. That's a real story. How many of you ever heard of Sean Bowles? Sean Bowles, he's like, oh, there's somebody in here named Tiffany. Your social security is 34288, and you were born in January. And everybody's like, oh, my God, it's me. You know, it's like Prize is Right. You know, come on down. You're getting a prophetic word. And then, but this ability to hear the Father and whatever he says and say whatever he's saying. And so there's several characters here in the Bible that we want to look at. So we have the king of Aram, or Syria, that's known as modern-day Syria, king of Aram, Syria. And then you have the king of Israel. And then you have Elisha and his servant Gehazi. The thing, when you come against these really hard words to pronounce, just say them with confidence, and everybody just feels like they're saying it right. I've been saying it wrong my whole life. So Elisha and Gehazi... It's Gehazi. I don't care. It's Gehazi right now. So Elijah and Gehazi, all right? So what's happening is the king of Syria, or the king of Aram, is coming against Israel. And he continually tries to send attacks to ambush Israel and the king of Israel. And he tells his soldiers, go to such and such place. It literally says in the word, go to such and such place and such time and take over and kill the king. And Elisha is like, hey, king of Israel, they're planning an attack here on this day. Don't go there. And the king of Aram is getting frustrated. How do they know we're going to be there when we're going to be there? Is there a spy in my camp? This is crazy. And the soldiers say, there's no spy here. But they have Elisha. That dude can literally hear you whisper in your bedroom. That's what it says. He can hear your whispers in your bedroom. So the king of Aram and the king of Syria, y'all, I'm feeling this today. Listen, the king of Aram and the king of Syria, he gets so mad at Elisha and his servant Gehazi. There he is again. I'm probably saying it totally wrong, but just go with me. He gets so mad at him that he sends a strong force and horses and chariots and soldiers. Somebody say a strong force. How many ever felt like a strong force came over you out of nowhere? Anybody woke up and just like, man, it's a strong force. And so the strong force comes against, they come and surround the city where Elisha and his servant is. And Gehazi, there he is again, he comes out of the house to go into the town, and he sees this strong force of horses and chariots and fear. Somebody say fear. He runs back to Elisha and is like, dude, the king of Aram has just sent this small army of horses and chariots. They're going to take us out. And then here we are in verse 16. Let me start at verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do? And here's what Elisha said. Run! No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. But what did he say? 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 Not what he thought. What did he say? He spoke. What did he say? Don't be afraid. He answered, don't be afraid. Why? He says, those who are with us, and we read this version, are more than those who are with them. Man, that sounds great, Elisha, but what are you talking about? And Elisha prayed, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened Gehazi's eyes, and he looked, and he saw what? The hills of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. They were surrounding the city, but what was surrounding the city on the hills? Chariots of fire, horses on fire. So what does he do? Elisha comes down and he blinds the army. I don't know how he did it. Be blind. And he blinded the army, takes them back to the king of Israel. He's like, dude, let's kill him. He's like, you didn't capture them. God did. We feed them. Unblinds them, sends them back, and the king of Aram never attacked Israel again. So here's my prayer. It's not the end of the service, but here's a prayer over you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because those who are with you are more than those who are with them. Holy Spirit, open their eyes. Would you just lay your hand on somebody's shoulder and say, Holy Spirit, open their eyes. Open their eyes to see that there are more that are with us than those that are with them. There are more that are with us than those that are with them. I don't care if you're battling cancer. There's more that is with you than there is that with them. I don't care that you're battling bankruptcy. There's more that is with you than that is with them. I don't care if you're battling depression. I know it's real, but listen, there is more that is with you than there are that are with them. You can compare the size of God's army by the power that's coming against you. If this is a strong force coming against me, then this times a bazillion is with me. And if our God is for us, who can be against us? What is the fear? The, T-H-E. The T, the tragedy, the H, the history, the E, the experiences that have caused you to fear the way you fear. You ever looked at somebody and said, who did that to you? You ever looked at yourself and say, what happened to me? Tragedy is real. Our history is real. Our experiences are real. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Your tragedy, your history, your experiences. Listen, don't let the fear define you. You still have a choice. God's not giving you what? The spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Are you with me, 12 Church? Do I have an army in the room today? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk. Even if you're walking in fear, just keep walking. If you're walking in discouragement, just keep walking. Don't give up. Don't stop. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit is our optometrist. I always laugh when I go to the eye doctor because they put that thing and they get all in your face. And I used to have this eye doctor that would always chew gum. So he's all in my face going. And I'm like trying to back away, you know. But he'll start to adjust the lenses. He gives you a vision to look at. He gives you words. He says, read the next line, read the next line, read the next line. What do you see? And he starts to adjust. And he says, is it better here or is it better here? Is this A or B? B or C? B or A? A or E? He's testing you. He's pushing you. He's trying you. Can you see it here? Can you see it here? Can you see it here? I thank God for optometrists. I am nearsighted. I am legally blind in my right eye. But we cannot look through physical eyes. But we have to look through spiritual eyes. Is it better here or is it better here? Is it A or is it B? I can see it better. I can see the vision better on B. I still see that you are for me. I still see my home. I still see my lost children say, yeah, go back to C. Yeah, yeah, that word. Yeah, yeah, that word, that prophetic word, that scripture, that promise. Yes, 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 I can see. Y'all, I'm preaching today. I've been preaching to myself all week because I've needed this all week. I'm not up here saying I got it all together. I am physically blind, but I am going to see 2020 in the spirit. Woo! My glasses help me with my physical eyes, but the word helps me with my spiritual eyes. Every day he's saying to us through his word, do you see better here? Do you see better here? But are you putting on your glasses? My vision would not be as bad if I would have worn my glasses as a kid. But I didn't think it was cool and they looked weird. We didn't have Warby Parker when I was 8. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And, you know, we were a blessed family, but, you know, when you're 8, your parents aren't buying you Gucci glasses because they know you're going to break them. And so I didn't want to wear them because I didn't wear them. My eyes got worse. Stay in the Word. And I've seen now that my vision's actually getting better. The more I wear my glasses, the more I focus through the right lens, my lens gets better, my eyes get better. Same thing with our spiritual eyes. Amen? Cole, let's start playing that track for me. I'm going to close out with, we talked about Elisha, but I believe Elisha was just following the vision of his mentor, Elijah. So I want to go back to 1 Kings and tell a story about how Elijah saw through his spiritual eyes. And some of you may know this story, and I always want to tell the story like somebody in here has never heard the story before. Because some of us didn't grow up in church, and some of us don't know all the characters, and we just say things, and we think everybody knows because we all went to Sunday school together and saw Jesus on the felt board. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a... See, if you're singing, you were in my Sunday school class. Everybody else is like, I don't know. So that's why I want to tell you this story. My mouth is dry. I'll tell you the story about Elijah. So we look back. Let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. So we're actually going to look at verse 41. But I think it's important that we set up the whole story of chapter 18. Because something happens here in verse 41 that links back to the verses before. Somebody say Elijah. And we talked about Elisha. All right. And Gehazi. All right. But we're going to talk about Elijah. And so, I don't know if you've heard the story about Mount Carmel and the fire that came from Mount Carmel. So, you've got... Let me make sure I have these characters right. You have Ahab, the king of Israel, and you have Obadiah. That's a name. Obadiah. Sounds like a Star Wars character. I'm Obadiah. I don't know. I tried. So you have Ahab and you have Obadiah. Obadiah was head of the household. He was like pretty much Ahab's right-hand man. And Israel had really turned to spiritual adultery. They began to turn from the one true living God and started to worship and sacrifice and build idols to other gods. Baal, the god of Baal. And these prophets start to rise up, prophets of Baal. And so Elijah comes into the land and God commands him to declare a drought. He declares a drought. It will not rain. No rain. Which, by the way, wasn't that rain the other night crazy? Went to bed, it was 70 degrees and pouring rain and thunder and lightning and tornado warnings. And I woke up and we were playing in the snow building snowmans. What's going on in Texas? This is crazy. So Elijah, because of their spiritual adultery, the Lord commands him to declare it will not rain. Somebody say no rain. And where there's no rain, there's no crops. And where there's no crops, there's no food. And where there's no food, there's famine. And this no rain says here it lasted for about 3 years. In James, it really says 3 years and 6 months. So 3.5 years. Could you imagine no rain for 3.5 months? Listen, we went over Christmas break. We're renting a home, but we're going to be buying a home. We declare it in Jesus' name. But as we're renting a home, just put my faith out there, our water pipe to our house busted the week of Christmas. We had no water from Monday to Saturday morning. We had fun. She offered to put us in a hotel, but our tree was there, our presents were there, our dogs were there. Christmas Eve, you know, so you should have seen us with jugs of water. I bought like 2 or 3 jugs, and when I'd empty them, I'd go over to my neighbor's house and turn on his hose just to get enough water to like sponge bath, to wash dishes, to fill up our toilets. Let's be honest. We were like, we designated one toilet as the toilet because we couldn't flush. We had no water. And so we had to fill it up about the time everybody got through. You know, you're eating Christmas dinner, Christmas Eve, all the cookies. It starts to pile up. Can I get an amen? It's crazy. But I'm just trying to tell you, wouldn't it stink to not, it would literally stink to not have water. But thank God they turned it, got it turned on, and we didn't have to pay for any of it. That's the joy of renting right there. And we got a big discount on our rent. It's a little favor there as well. But we had no water. Could you imagine no water for 3.5 years? So Ahab's ticked at Elijah. He's mad. You did this. But really, Ahab did it. So Elijah shows back up. God sends Elijah back and says, I want you to go back and bring back the rain. And so here's what happened. During that 3.5 years, Jezebel, y'all heard of Jezebel, all you churchy people, that Jezebel spirit. Blame everything on that Jezebel spirit. You're just an angry person. It has nothing to do with the Jezebel spirit. Amen. So Jezebel started to kill off the prophets of the Lord. And Ahab and Obadiah are getting so afraid that they hide 100 prophets of God. 50 in one cave, 50 in another. Gives them food and water, which is a delicacy. And Obadiah and Ahab said, let's split ways. We got to find grass. Because we have to feed our horses and we have to feed our mules. And if it ain't rained, where's the grass? And as they're looking for grass, Ahab goes this way, Obadiah goes that way. Elijah just appears to Obadiah. Y'all ever seen that Homer Simpson gif where he kind of just shrinks back in the bushes? Just put that in rewind. He just kind of comes out. I'm Elijah. And he says, oh, master. And Elijah's like, take me back to Ahab. He's like, dude, you want to kill me? That dude is not like you right now. He's like, just take me back to Ahab. Meets up with Ahab. Ahab's like, what are you doing here? You did all this. Elijah says, no, you did it. Your spiritual adultery caused this. You've been worshiping other gods, but I'm about to call all y'all out on the rug. I want you and everybody to meet me on Mount Carmel. So they all climbed up to Mount Carmel. That's a climb. And they all get up there, and Elijah's like, it's about to go down. Here's what's going to happen. Prophets of Baal, you're going to set up an altar over here. And I'm going to set up an altar over here. The odds were 450 to 1. There were 450 prophets of Baal, and he was the only prophet of the Lord because the other 100 were hiding in 2 caves. How many of you would stand up against 450? But here's what you're going to do. You're going to sacrifice a bull, and I'm going to sacrifice a bull. And the God that answers by fire is the one true and living God. So the prophets of Baal cut up the bull. And they start to dance and do their things. And hours, they start cutting themselves. And they're covered with blood. And nothing. No fire, no flicker, no spark, nothing. Somebody say nothing. And Elijah, in confidence, like, oh, where's your God? Sleeping, taking a nap? So what is he goes to his altar. Here's what he does. He rebuilds it. He takes 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Are y'all with me today? And he's reestablishing Israel. We don't know it, but he's reestablishing his church. He's realigning his church. And he establishes the altar and he puts the wood in a way that he knows God's going to show up. And he cuts up the bull. And then here's what he does. Take the delicacy, take water. And I want what? I want 4 jars of it. And I want you to soak this. Build a trench around it. And just soak the sacrifice, soak the trench. I want you to fill it up. And they do it. He says, now do it again. And do it one more time. 3 times they took 4 jars, 12 total. Here he is establishing Israel again. How's fire going to consume water? It's not about water. It's about the sacrifice, the cost of water. That's a whole other thing right there. And he prays this simple prayer. Pretty much like, you're the real God. So come burn the sacrifice, in so many words. It's very simple. And fire immediately comes down and consumes the sacrifice. And everybody bows and says, your God is the real God. And then they take the 450 prophets of Baal down and they annihilate them. So here's, God just showed up. But still no rain. There's fire. Where's the rain? James Taylor. I've seen fire, I've seen rain. So this has happened. They've just slaughtered the prophets of Baal, and Elijah says to King Ahab, go eat and drink. I like this. For there is the sound of a heavy rain. But there's no cloud in the sky. It hasn't rained for 3.5 years. But I hear the sound of a heavy rain. Can you hear what I hear, Dwell Church? He who has ears to hear. As Pastor David Nicole spoke last week, we have to hear it before we see it. That's the way it works. A sound precedes revival. A sound precedes a miracle. A sound precedes awakening. You will see a plane or hear a plane before you see a plane. You will hear a train before you see a train. And we heard a sound in an upper room come and fill that upper room in the place where they were sitting. And we saw the birth of Acts, of the Holy Spirit of revival. It started with a sound. And Elijah says to Ahab, I hear the sound. I hear the sound. I hear the sound. I hear the sound. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed. Sometimes you got to let everybody else go eat and drink for 21 days. And we got to climb. We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to worship. We got to dig in. Because we hear a sound. And so he climbed up to where? Where did he climb up to? He climbed back up to Carmel. He bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Now listen, he went back to Carmel. He went back to where the fire fell. He went back to where God showed up. I don't know what your discouragement is, what your history is, what your tragedy is, what your experience is, but I'm declaring to you, go back to your first love. Go back to where he showed up. Go back to where he showed out. Go back to where the fire first fell and it burned. I believe that when he went up to Carmel, that the sacrifice was still burning. Go back to the fire. Go back. And then this is what he does. James Gross, I need your help. You're going to be my servant. I'm sorry, my friend. But in the word, he sends a servant. So I want you to stand right here. We didn't practice this. So here's what Elijah does. Goes back to Carmel. No cloud in the sky. Not even the smell of rain. What does he do? He gets on his knees. Church, we got to humble ourselves. Posture is everything. There is a perspective that can only be found on your knees. There is a perspective physically and spiritually that can only be found on your face. He humbles himself. He gets on his knees, and here's what he does. He looks out to the sea. He's not looking with his physical eyes. He puts his head between his knees because he knows what he's heard, and now he sees it. And what does he do? He tells his servant, go look and tell me what you see. Look again. I know what I hear. I know what I see in my spirit. Look again. Look again. For the fifth time, look again. I know what I've heard. I know what I see. Look again. Look again. He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And what does he say? King, get on your chariot and ride to the sea until the rain overtakes you. And as he ran toward the sea, it said the clouds began to come in and to roll in. And it got dark and thunder and lightning. And the rain overtook Ahab. And so what does Elijah do? He picks up his robe and he runs. And the spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And he outruns the chariot. And here's what I believe, James. I believe if it would have took 8 times, 9 times, 10 times, 20 times, 100 times, he would have said, keep looking, keep looking, keep looking, because I know what I hear. I know what I see. Look again, look again, look again. And I don't know who this is for today, but you need to hear this. Look again. Look again. I don't care if it's the 8th time, the 20th time, the 500th time. Look again if you know what the Spirit is saying. If you see what the Spirit is saying, it's not about what's around you. It's what's in you. Look again. Somebody say, look again. Somebody say, look again. And here's what I came to declare to you, if the musicians would come. Turn this music up just a little bit. I want to declare to you what was declared to us in this word in some chapters, some versions of the Bible. Above this story, it simply says, the drought ends. And that's what I come to declare to you today. The drought ends today. 2020. 20 in the Bible is a number of completion. And I declare what a trial you've been going through, whatever you've been believing God for, fasting God for, crying out for, listen, today the drought is over.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.